Welcome to Timeless Truths. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario, and features the preaching and teaching of Pastor Jerry Burns. Our prayer, as always, is that this program will be a blessing to you and that you will find God's hope and help for your life. So join us now as we discover God in His timeless truths.
Stand in His way. But then the messengers came one by one with their stories. In just a few moments, Job lost all he had. Great wealth and riches and the health of his body, and even his children were dead. But Job said, "The Lord giveth, He taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served God before and I'll serve Him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Then Job's wife came before him to voice her opinion. She said, "You should end it. Yes, curse God and die." But Job rose from the ashes and he looked toward the heavens and brushed back the tears in his eyes. He said, "The Lord giveth, taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served God before and I'll serve Him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When troubles come silently, blessed be the name. When storm winds blow violently, blessed be the name. When Satan comes oppressing me, blessed be the name. I'll still serve God faithfully, blessed be the name. The Lord giveth, He taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served God before and I'll serve Him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Salvation. And Paul said that, Paul told Timothy that his mother, his grandmother, had unfeigned faith. They were godly individuals that loved the Lord. And then the Bible says in verse 15 that this teaching is amplified when a woman continues in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety or seriousness. And this was really the lesson that I've learned so far in this study, is that lessons of the lips are important. You know, we teach our children, we teach behind the pulpit, we teach in a class. Lessons of the lips are important, but lessons of a life are equally important, or I want to say even more important. And so the Bible says in the scripture that a woman has opportunity to teach children, and this teaching is amplified when she lives a godly life. All right, so that's what we looked at last time, and now we are in chapter 3. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1 together. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now that we picked on the women, now we get to pick on the pastor, all right? Chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says it this in verse 1, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is truly an honor to come before these individuals with your word. And Lord, I understand my inability to help anyone without your help and your working in my life. And so, Father, I pray as I open your word that the Spirit of God would guide and direct my thoughts. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use this time in my life and my brothers and sisters' lives, that they would grow closer to you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us even to make decisions through your word. We know it is profitable. We know that it is useful for our Christian life. And so, Father, I pray that this is a profitable time for each of us. We thank you again for this opportunity. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want us to begin as we start in chapter 3, and we look at the qualifications. Many Bibles will index it as the qualifications of a pastor, a bishop, or an elder. What does the Bible have to say about God's man is really the introduction to the third chapter of 1 Timothy. Now, many times in the Old Testament, God would use a shepherd to direct his people. Now, whether that was a political figure or whether that was a religious leader, God, or even a king, God would send a shepherd. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 14, the Bible says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." Verse 15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Throughout the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for shepherd or pastor has the meaning of feeding. The meaning of feeding. In fact, it's interesting when you study through the Old Testament, you go through various scriptures, in Ezekiel chapter 34, where God as the shepherd is contrasted with the false shepherds within Israel. And these false shepherds had neglected the flock. God pronounces woes upon them for the reason that they had fed themselves, but they did not feed the sheep. So God sends his prophets, his shepherds, to guide and to direct. Now, when we move into the New Testament, we find the idea of the pastor or the shepherd is the thought there. When we think about Israel and the heart of God, as the Bible says, "I will give you pastors according to mine own heart," God's heart has not changed. God still wants to direct. God still wants to help. God still wants to shepherd through an under-shepherd, his people. Now, when I go through this study, I'm going to try really hard to preach this, not from the role of a pastor, but what the Bible has to say here. So think about this. What I'm trying to say is the shepherd or the pastor is God-given. And don't let anyone tell you that God doesn't call a man of God or God doesn't call his shepherd to his church. In fact, the Bible says it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some. Now notice that expression, he gave some. God is the giver, and it's a gift to the church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Now, when you read through the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 3 says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart. There are two fundamental problems in the response of these pastors that we find throughout the book of Jeremiah. The first problem was, is that when God sent the shepherds, the sheep wouldn't accept the shepherd. They wanted to go their own way, they wanted to do their own thing, and they had rejected the message of the shepherd to feed them and direct them. The second problem when God sent a shepherd was that the shepherd himself became defiled. And the shepherd followed after his own pathway, and as we read throughout the Bible, they directed the sheep to false gods and so forth. Now, what does the Bible say about the pastor? Titus chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says this, Paul writing to Titus, the young man in ministry, he says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless. Now, I want you to think about this. As the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he might be able to, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. In Acts chapter 20, in verse number 27, and I know many of you are writing this down, so I'll slow down here. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Here, the Apostle Paul is talking to a council of pastors, and he says in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which over which the Holy Ghost, now notice this, hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 17, that the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not willingly, but willingly. Constraint there means to be forced, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind. Now, when you go through all of these scriptures, and there's many more, the Bible gives three titles that describe the same office, and they're descriptive words. So the three titles that are given to us in the Bible that describe the same office, the pastor, these descriptive words is, first of all, there's the pastor, there's the shepherd. The term shepherd, again, in the Old Testament is used to describe a political leader or religious leader, and God holds these shepherds accountable. In fact, he says in Jeremiah 25, verse 34, howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourself in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and for your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. So when we talk about a shepherd, we're talking about guiding, we're talking about feeding, we're talking about leadership. Now, another word that we find in our Bible is the word bishop. The Lord Jesus is described as the bishop of our souls. And the word bishop means to be an overseer. And the Bible teaches us, in fact, the Bible emboldens the pastor to take the oversight thereof or to oversee the Lord's church. Now, when we talk about oversight, as the pastor is responsible, and the Bible teaches us to take the oversight or to oversee, when we talk about this title, overseeing, there's another title that's important, and that is Titus chapter 1, verse 7, and that is a steward. You see, the Bible teaches us that the pastor is also a steward of the heritage of God. So he's an overseer, but he's also a steward of God's work. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that within the context of the Church of the Living God, within the context of the Lord's church, there are many opinions. Everyone has an opinion. There are many people that have many opinions of how church should be conducted, how church should be run. But listen to me. There is only one who is accountable to God. There is only one who is the steward of the church that God says, hey, listen, you are to take the oversight thereof. You are to be the overseer, and therefore you are the steward. The next word that we find in our Bibles, the word elder, and it speaks of experience, it speaks of wisdom, and we know from what the Bible teaches us that all wisdom comes from God, and that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And so a proper reverence for who God is, and God directs, and I believe that God, as He places a man within the context of a church, and we're praying for this church in Quebec that God would give him them a pastor. I believe that God directs the pastor and gives the pastor wisdom for the flock. I believe God gives the wisdom and the direction of the church in the city that a church is placed. God works through His man, and God feeds His flock through the man of God. So what does the Bible teach about this role, this pastoral role? Number one, I want us to think about a God-given desire. A God-given desire. It says in verse number one, this is a true saying. Paul says, this saying should never be doubted. Pastors may doubt it. But this is a true saying, Paul said. Don't doubt what I'm going to tell you. This is a true saying. If any man desire the office of a bishop, remember, pastor, elder, bishop, descriptive words, same position, same role, the same position here. If any man desire the office of a bishop, that's the overseer, pastor, the leader, and provider, he desireth a good work. This is a true saying, Paul said. If a man desires this office, then he desires a good work. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Psalms and look at Psalm 37, if we have a moment here. I don't know how far we're going to get tonight, but I want us to look at this scripture here. Psalm chapter 37. I heard a preacher say this one time about these passages of Scripture. What they say is that if you desire the office of a bishop, you want to be a pastor, and you meet the qualifications, then just be a pastor. That's what this individual said. But I want us to see that this desire doesn't just randomly occur. God puts this desire in a man's heart. Because a pastor is God called, God directed, God led. God is the one doing the work because it is His church. Now, the Bible says, chapter 37, the book of Psalms, so Psalm 37, verse 4, look what the scripture says. Now, I've used this verse many times, and this is a great verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. So this is the premise here. Delighting yourself in the Lord, and he, this is God, shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, we say, well, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then our desires are parallel with God's desires, and that is true. But I believe even more direct, God puts those desires in our heart. God places, for a man who delights himself in the Lord, God places that desire in a man's heart. Now, this doesn't just have to do with pastoring or this position, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16 says, speaking of those walking by faith, but now they desire a better country. That's speaking of a Christian. Where once they weren't walking by faith, now they're walking after trusting the Lord, they're walking by faith, they see the invisible. Now, they don't care about this old world. They desire a better country. Are you excited about heaven? Now, a Christian that's backslidden, a Christian that is not delighting himself in the Lord, that desire is not in his heart. He wants to live for the now and now. He wants to give his life for something that is going to fade away. And we'll talk about this in a moment. But it's the one that delights himself in the Lord. God puts that desire in a Christian's heart. And specifically, the Bible says, listen, Timothy, if there's a man in your church that desires the office of a bishop, I want you to know he desires a good work. Now, oftentimes in the Bible, we are told that the Christian life is a battle, and the Christian life is that which we ought to fight. And Paul said to fight the good fight of faith. Now, think about that, the good fight. We talk about the Christian life. We talk about many times the struggles in our Christian life. It is a good fight. So, how do we delight ourselves in the Lord is the question I want to answer. Because the Bible says, if we delight ourselves also in the Lord, then he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. It doesn't mean if you delight yourself in the Lord, then you're going to have a brand new Porsche in your driveway. It doesn't mean you're going to get whatever you want. It means that you're aligning your desires with God's desires. God's putting that desire in your heart because you have put, number one, here's how we delight in the Lord. We seek God first. We seek God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added. You, his kingdom speaks of the eternal. Remember the problem with the disciples? They thought that Jesus was going to establish his kingdom on earth. They thought he was going to overthrow the Roman government and that they were going to sit on the right hand and on the left and upon the earth they would have this kingdom. And Jesus said, you have to understand, my kingdom is not of this world. When we seek the kingdom of God, listen, we're seeking the eternal. And I know this is fundamental, but I believe we as Christians, we have missed this. We are living many times for this world. We are investing in this world. And yet, I'm told by the hymn writer, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means you need to invest your life in the eternal. I used this illustration before, but it's good. I'm going to use it again. Can you imagine going to a hotel room, spending two nights, and redoing the whole room? I mean, the person at the front desk. What do you call the person at the front desk? The person at the front desk, okay? They would think you're crazy. I mean, how long are you staying? Oh, just a couple of days, but I want a brand new bathtub, and I want a brand new bed, and I'm gonna tear this place out, and I'm gonna put new flooring down. I'm gonna invest everything I have for just 2 days. That is the same as a Christian who's living for this world. You're giving yourself to something that is going to fade away. Seek first the kingdom of God. His kingdom means the eternal. Number two, his righteousness speaks of your sanctification. It speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Many delight in wealth and status, material possessions, and other temporary things in this world, and they are never satisfied. And the greatest lesson we learn in the Bible is Solomon and Ecclesiastes, the preacher. He realized that this world outside of God could not satisfy the soul. I don't want you to try it. But if you live for this world, you're going to realize this world will not satisfy you. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, Solomon said. After all that he went through, all that he experienced looking for happiness, fear God and keep his commandments.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.